Welcome to this week's edition of Mountain Outhouse. I'm your host, Jam Jam. This is the craziest shit to happen in running this week. This week's stories include gender bias in ultra running media, the Droughty Show, and our newest female correspondent. We've got to start this week with the proverbial elephant in the room, gender inequality in the trail in ultra running media. Let's get into it. If you've been living in a social media black hole over the weekend, let me catch you up. Kat Bradley, who had quite possibly the race of her life at the April 29th, the Canyons 100K, which is based on the middle miles of the Western States 100, she ran the second fastest time ever by a woman in the four-year history of the event, and placed 8th overall. A truly incredible performance for an already extremely talented woman in our sport. Reading through her blog posted to her Kat Brad WordPress blog, she talks about the struggle she had on race day, years of hard work and sacrifice that led to her incredible day out in those story canyons. She thanked her supporters, her sponsor, her boyfriend Ryan, and even the race director Chaz, who greeted her with a big trophy and swag backpack at the finish line. Then she shifted her focus away from this highlight of her career and towards one man. The man she mentions in her post, without calling him out specifically by name, is Eric Schrantz of the popular website UltraRunnerPodcast.com. Kat singled out Eric for not announcing her name as she crossed the finish line, nor the other podium women finishers. She went on to accuse him of not providing fair and equal recognition of her win on his daily news recap on his website, instead only pointing out Bob Shibes' 100K victory. She ultimately tied this deliberate lack of women's coverage to Gina Lucrezi's recent gender inequality article we cited last week, and that this is proof of unequal media coverage in our sport. First off, I think this is a genuine topic to look at and investigate further. Is this truly happening in our sport, and how might we all be able to help advance the cause of equality? But how do these accusations add up to the realities of what happened April 29th, and in the media and our sport in general? Let's take a look. First off, let's look at the topic of race announcements and what happened to Eric Schrantz the day of the Canyons 100K. In his rebuttal piece, Eric pointed out he was a volunteer announcer on the day of the race, and by the afternoon, headed home to spend time with his wife, kids, and extended family, prior to the women finishers. So who took over once he left? Scotty Sandow posted a comment on her Facebook post that he filled in for Eric, and he did announce Kat and the other top women as they came across the line. Okay, so maybe you're tired and didn't hear your name called. It still sounds like recognition was given, and the race director was there to congratulate the win and pass out the trophy and swag. Are we missing something here? Was there actual real gender inequality that took place at the Canyons 100K, or was it a misunderstanding? Okay, let's move on to the next thing that angered Kat. No mention of her in the Ultra Runner podcast Daily News. This was cited in the words written on her blog, and I quote, "But as a leader and voice in trail running, it is my opinion that you cannot cover a men's race and leave the women's race unspoken for. That sends a message that one race is more important than the other. It is a responsibility of the media to use its voice within the sport to work towards mending unfair practices in ultra running." End quote. Very fair point, and I think all of us agree that the media in general should cover men and women equally. The only problem with that statement and accusing Eric of purposefully excluding women is that you have to understand what his daily news is and isn't. It isn't a race coverage recap of the weekend's races. The URP daily news is, according to Eric's site, and I quote, "an irreverent compendium of must-know info of all things related to ultras and other gobbledygook of interest," end quote. It is simply a curation of interesting, sometimes controversial, or otherwise items that Eric himself wants to promote, which I might add often includes a smattering of his own podcasts and sponsored plugs. I have to say, I think Eric does a great job of featuring men and women on his daily news and within his podcast interviews. It does not seem one-sided in any way or exclusionary one bit. On the same day he made mention of the Canyons 100K, he also mentioned Amelia Boone's recent trail race win with no mention of the men's winner. If you are looking for the true leader in full coverage of trail and ultra running media, you have to turn to irunfar.com. They are the leader in news, race recaps, and interviews, and guess what? They produce a weekly recap of the biggest races written by Justin Mock called This Week in Running. What did they have to say about the Canyons 100K? Not only that Bob Shibes won the race after thrice missing a golden ticket, But that, and I quote, Kat Bradley ran 11:32, winning by over an hour. Her time ranks second all time at the event, and sits just a few seconds inside Magdalena Boulay's 2015 winning time, end quote. To expect that URP has to regurgitate to the exact same news as I Run Far is not what this sport needs. Eric shouldn't be required to make mention of every single winner of every ultra happening. That is what I Run Far is good at and for. So where is the gender inequality really at? It's not with Eric Schranz. He even partnered with the clothing brand Rabbit recently to create a women's tribute shirt for the badass women in our sport. How about we start with Kat's own sponsor, Salomon? They tweeted plenty about Tom Owen's Three Peaks race. In fact, four of the six tweets were about the men for that race, and only one about the women's winner. No mention of Kat or her incredible win at the Canyons all weekend or since. Maybe her post should have been directed more towards her own sponsor, who didn't make mention of her amazing accomplishment? Let's take a look at an even more blatant inequality. The brand Under Armour is making a noticeable foray into our sport of trail and ultra running, with some recent sponsorship of elite trail runners such as Yao Wang and Cody Reed, as well as a three-race mountain running series this summer. Do me a favor and check out the Instagram page for Under Armour. Yeah, their main account, as they do have several. The one with 3.2 million followers. Not a single woman to be found. Yes, they have a separate Under Armour Women account and a UA Running account, all with way fewer followers and more represented by women. But why no images of women whatsoever on their main page? Yeah, now that's f***ed up. So let's take a look at what's good. I Run Far seems fairly balanced as the main professional media coverage in our sport. Regular columns by the Trail Sisters highlighting important issues is awesome to see, such as the recent column highlighting pay gaps. We'd love to see more women in the media itself. Come to think of it, there's a certain news program that does seem to be quite one-sided. Ultra Bromance of the Year Awards. Of the Ultra Bromance of the Year Award, the most deserving bros could take home this award, which will be given to the two men who have really shown they have what it takes when it comes to awkward male friendships. 16.6% of the vote is Killian Jornet and Jason Schlarb with their Hard Rock Handhold. And finally, Gary Robbins and Jared Campbell, 5% of the vote, and your 2016 UBODI winners.
Hey, Gary Robbins here.
We've now got some correspondence from the Beast Coast, courtesy of The Jizz. The Jizz.
Hey, Outhouse Nation, this is The Jizz. Hey, Outhouse Nation. Hey, everybody, it's the Jizz reporting in.
The Jizz is out for the count. We now go to our newest correspondent, Debo, for mid-race coverage.
Good afternoon. This is Dylan Bowman reporting for the Mountain Outhouse.
Hello, Scopata here with the young, lightning-fast Nathan and Hoka One sponsored ultra runner, Hayden Hawks.
Run fashion with our correspondent known as Varner.
Hey, this is Varner reporting from the Boston Marathon Expo.
With our correspondent, Skizzlefresh, who now comes to us with a mid-race weather report.
Skizzlefresh here at the top of Cardiac Hill at the Quad Dipsy out in Mill Valley, Marin Headlands.
Now that's some bullshit. Okay, so we hear you loud and clear. We here at Mountain Outhouse News are committed to gender equality in the ultra-running media, and therefore we need more women correspondents. We've made an official call to action. If you think you've got it, send us your best news coverage. We look forward to hearing from you. And to you, Kat, thanks for bringing this important topic to light, and a huge congrats to your Canyons 100K victory. What's that? I'm being told we actually have our first female correspondent right now. I'd like to introduce to you our Northwest correspondent, Maya Ray Ray. Let's roll it.
Thanks, Jam Jam. Mako, first off, this way. Not this way, this way. Rookie move. Wait, I said unicorn frap! Oh, my frap! That's good. My Ray right here, your Northwest correspondent reporting for a Mountain Outhouse. Busy week here in the Northwest. The Yakima Skyline Rim 50K happened and had some big names in the race. Jeff Browning and Dom Grossman to name a few. Browning took first while Dom took eighth. But Dom was the first in cheerleading. Browning now heads to Wenatchee for the Red Devil 25K as he preps for the Western States. Hey, my dad's running that race and I look forward for him to struggle a lot. He's old and slow. I crushed it this week on my girls in the run training, completing 7 loops in 25 minutes. Watch out, KC, there's a new favorite coming to Squaw. Crazy! Walmsley didn't win a race this weekend. And literally, there's nothing on these notes. Nothing. Nothing. Oh, did you see that Mako got the cover on Team Bot magazine? Wow, that's good. I'm proud of him.
Dang, that was so kick-ass. The bar has been set, ladies, and we're looking forward to more. Deep breath. The U.S. team for the Mountain Running World Champs has been announced. For the women, it is Daniela Moreno of Santa Barbara, who was 9th at the USATF 2016 Mountain Running Champs, Addie Bracey of Boulder, who won the 2016 USATF Trail Marathon Champs, Anita Ortiz of Eagle, Colorado, who was 2nd at the 2016 Pikes Peak Marathon, and still crushing it in her 50s, Christy Connect of Flagstaff, who was 2nd at the Flagstaff Sky Race 39K, and Cassie Edman of Huntington, Vermont, representing the Beast Coast, who was 2nd at the USATF 50K Trail Champs. For the dudes, it's Matt Daniels of Boulder, Colorado, with his 2nd place 30K USATF Trail Champs placement, Cole Watson of Ashland with a 2nd at the 2017 USATF 50K Trail Champs, Andy Wacker of Boulder, who won the USATF Half Marathon Trail Champs, Mario Mendoza of Bend, who was 11th at the World Mountain Run Champs in 2016, and finally Tate Pullman, who was 2nd at the Flag Sky Race 39K. These ladies and gents will be competing on August 6th in Primana, Italy. We should note that Megan Kimmel, Alicia Vargo, Joseph Gray, and Sage Cannaday all won selection races, but turned down their spots. Looking for a new running coach? It appears YouTuber Casey Neistat is jumping on the I'm a running coach now bandwagon, as seen in a recent tweet by EB Family. Casey's been putting in some solid miles lately, surpassing the 100K mark this past week. Casey, we're still wondering when you'll be entering your first ultra. Sooner than later, we hope. The latest snow data has been released for the top 2-tier 100-milers coming up this summer in the US. The Western States 100 tweeted that generally the snowpack in the Sierras is 128% of the April 1st average, still below that of the 82-83 season max, but well above normal. We'll see firsthand in 3 weeks at the Western States training camp how the high snow levels might impact Walmsley and his quest for breaking 14. Heading east to the San Juans, no, not quite the Beast Coast, the May snow report from Charlie Thorne shows a meager 8.5 inches fell in April, and that warmer and wetter conditions are heading to the San Juans up until the July race weekend. More snow has fallen on the Hard Rock course this winter than any other year except 1992-93. Noah Drotty has made it, folks. He was wisely picked up by Saucony this past weekend as his main sponsor. Hey Saucony, want an equally iconic character in the ultra scene? Check out themakoshow.com. In all fairness, we can only hope to tune in to The Drotty Show someday soon. Are you an RD with real race announcing issues? Here to come to your rescue is a plug from our Beast Coast correspondent, Jizzle Wizzle.
Hey, Outhouse Nation, it's the Jizz checking in from the Beast Coast. Hey, lots of chatter this week about ultra running media and balanced or lack of balanced coverage of the various events, maybe even some inequality among the genders. So hey, I'm here to say, direct from the Beast Coast, any race organizer out there who wants an announcer, wants a race announcer, wants completely balanced coverage, the Jizz is your guy. Give me a camp chair, a cooler full of frosty beverages, and I promise you, I will sit there all day and all night announcing those results. And get this, I've even got my own microphone right here. Check it out. So give me a buzz, hit me up on thejizz.com, and we'll get it set up. Until next week, folks, it's the Jizz from the Beast Coast.
The Wings for Life World Run took place this weekend around the globe, raising money for spinal cord research. The charity race involves a simultaneous start time that somehow just may throw off the gravity balance of our planet, if our calculations are correct. And instead of a fixed distance, a moving finish line embodied in a literal catcher car begins moving towards participants after a 30-minute time handicap. The car slowly speeds up, eventually catching all participants at their newfound finish line. Current world record sits at 88.44 kilometers. Quite a few ultra bros and gals participated this weekend, most notably our good friend Olav Olsson of Sweden. He became the Swedish champ with his 74.8 kilometers, run in about 4 hours 50 minutes. Olav was sure to compare his run on that day to that of Coconino cowboy Jim Walmsley, who only managed 32.4 kilometers and was clearly suffering some intestinal issues. We'll catch up with Olav at the end of this month at the Western States training camp as well. Shout out to blind runner Richard Hunter for completing the Umsted 100 last month. In an article he penned for Ultra Running Magazine, he describes overcoming injuries sustained from being hit by a car while on a tandem bike, training ride, preparing for Ironman Lake Tahoe 5 years ago. He utilized guide runners and eventually finished in a solid 24-hour, 29-minute time, which is awesome. We'd love to see more of this in our sport. In clean sport this week, could swearing while you run actually make you stronger? A study in the UK says there could be up to an 8% performance boost. Take that, Nike Zoom Vaporfly 4%. I guess all Eliud Kipchoge needed in his breaking 2 quest this past weekend were a few timely F-bombs.
Fresh coming to you live from the Randall's Trailhead at Miwok 100K. Weather out here is delightful. Low 60s, sunny, light breeze, perfect conditions. We just staved off a heat wave that came earlier this week that had temperatures in certain areas of the Bay Area up to the 90s. So great day here in the Marin Headlands. Definitely some sweaty action, some fun action, some good times. And overall, no complaints.
Drones at races. We all love the cinematic beauty of a well-timed aerial shot, delivered conveniently from a drone, but at what cost are these shots? With the explosion of affordable and portable consumer drones, we're destined to more and more be affected by their presence at ultramarathons. At the Lake Sonoma 50 race alone, I went to pull mine out at mile 2 of the race, and as soon as I pulled into the trailhead, 2 other guys were already about to launch their DJI Mavic drones. Not to mention there was some quite concernibly footage right overhead of the start line of the race. That made no sense, but you get what I'm saying. Let's all take a step back and remember that runner safety should be paramount over any sick shot. Take for instance this bike crash caused by a downed drone. The dude flips over his handlebars after a Phantom crashes down from the sky and becomes ensnared in his bicycle wheel. Basically, if you don't know what you're doing and don't have permission from the race director, keep that drone away from our trail runners. Hi, Ridley. Chris Mocco officially launched The Mocco Show this past week, chronicling his running during Hell Week. Tune in to his YouTube channel for all things Mocco, including what he eats and his pre-run exercise routine. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. If you have crazy stories to share or more thoughts on media gender bias, tweet us at Mountain Outpost. Have a shit week. Oh, hey there. Looking for a way to support this show? Want a genuine piece of Mountain Outhouse news memorabilia? We are now offering Jam Jam's signature sunglasses for purchase after each show. Each pair is guaranteed to only appear in one episode, and then will be shipped to one lucky purchaser along with a Mountain Outpost sticker pack and signed certificate of authenticity. Act fast, only one pair will be available for each show. Link below. Bye.